Again, welcome back. This is the final week, our fourth week and our final week of our Fear Not sermon series. So we covered a lot of ground and in this short time, in these last couple of weeks, and talked through some challenging ideas. So, and not the least of which is the idea that you can be victorious in the battle against fear. So we talked about healthy fear and unhealthy fear. And so I want us to think about moments of victory or breakthrough in our own lives. And with that being said, I have a scripture that constantly comes to mind, and I heard it from somebody else, and I said, why did I never pay attention to that psalm before? And it's Psalm 34, and verses 4 and 5. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. So I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. And I heard somebody else say that a few months ago, some time ago. And I said, wow, why have I never? And then it just clicked. And it was like Holy Spirit was penetrating into me, and it was like, wow, I have another memory verse. This is awesome. So that to me is a victory. So I want all of us to think about those moments of victory or breakthrough in our own lives. So what victories have you seen in your life this week, or in this month, or in this year? So no matter how big or how small they are, they can be these grand and glorious victories, or they can be these little tiny things that, you know, I heard somebody on the radio say that verse, and it stuck. And I was like, wow, okay, I got to go look at this. Can I tell you the rest of what Psalm 34 says? Nope, but I remember verses 4 and 5, and that's a victory. So no matter how big or how small they are, it's an encouragement to hear those stories. And so one of my favorite phrases is to celebrate the little things. Celebrate the little things. Because victory comes in all shapes and sizes. So now, we tend as people, you know, we're human, when we have those victories in shopping. So I love going to secondhand shops. I love going on clearance racks. If I go into any kind of store, I'm not a huge shopper, by the way. I'm not a fan of shopping. I can't do an all-day shopping adventure. But when I go into a store and I say, okay, I'm going to get a new top or something. I got to get a pair of boots. Where do I go first? Clearance rack. Bam. I'm at the clearance rack. But and I love to celebrate. If I find something on the clearance rack, look, I got it for $3 or whatever it is. I got this top for $10. And I was, you know, there's a victory. I went to Salvation Army store the other day. And I found this beautiful wool coat. I showed my folks this full-length wool coat, you know, name brand, very little worn. And it was $20. I said, oh, this is awesome. This is a, you know, really good wool coat, and it's going to keep me really warm this winter. And so I'm like, oh, this is a score. And as we're standing in line and getting ready to pay, this lady announces over the PA that the seniors in the store, 55 and older, would receive a 25% discount. And who is with me? Kevin's with me. And I'm like, score! This is a victory. So, yay! So we got 25% off too. So I got my coat, my cheap coat for cheaper. So there's a victory, right? And that's, I would consider that a human victory, although I praise God. Thank you, God. You know? So, but I've also had some major victories in mine. So another victory that I had not too long ago, I was really, really working through some personal demons this year. And, you know, kind of felt that, and I've shared it here, that I just kind of was going through the motions. I just had this phase to where I was just kind of, like I said, going through motions. I just felt comfortably numb. I was complacent. I just really wasn't with it in prayer. I just didn't feel that connection. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? There's stuff that I haven't dealt with and I really wasn't dealing with, and it was a challenge. So and one day I was just like, okay, Lord, just show me. Show me what's going on here. What is blocking this connection with you, God? And I knelt down to pray, and I asked the Holy Spirit to show me. And he started showing me there was some pain that I hadn't dealt with. And there was some forgiveness that I hadn't given. And it was like, it was like he smacked me upside the head. It was like, bam, bam. There were these people from my past that popped up, and it was just clear instruction to forgive them. And I said, I haven't even thought of these people in 30 years, 40 years. I mean, it's just, this has been, like, I haven't, like, who are they? Why are these people showing up in my, you know, why are they coming to mind? And the Holy Spirit was like, you need to forgive these people. And then I sat there and I started thinking about the people. And then I started rocking back and forth on my knees and just, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't even say their name. I can't even say their name. I can't do it. And Holy Spirit's like, you have to. You have to. Just do it. Just do it. And I'm rocking. I'm going, no. And I'm saying, no, I can't do this. And all of a sudden, and for some reason, this scripture I hadn't paid attention to sometime, this verse ran through my head. And it was Philippians 4:13. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that hit me. It was like the Holy Spirit just gifted that verse to me. And I said the person's name. And I said, I forgive them. And I have goosebumps telling the story right now. I said the person's name. And I forgave them. And that was, to me, a major, major victory in my life. Now, and I don't know about you. If those moments have happened, but it was just like I had buried these people so long ago and not thought of them, but I never, ever let it go. And then I was rocking, and then that window just opened up, and it was like I could easily talk to God again, and I could just say, Lord, I am yours, and you are mine. And I have just felt once again just completely possessed by the Holy Spirit. And it was so relieving. So with that being said, the flip side of victory is one that many of us have also experienced. And at times we call it defeat. And other times it's labeled as discouragement. And I would say certainly I was discouraged. And either way, these are realities that we will experience in our long journey of salvation. Of sanctification. So in our long journey of sanctification and our growth in faith. So does it mean that we failed and that we're beyond redemption? Does it mean that because I was just going through the motions and just like, I'm this apathetic Christian, just kind of like, whatever, just go day to day. So does it mean that I failed and that I was beyond redemption? No. It just means that I'm human. And you're human. And because of this, God sent his one and only Son to redeem the world so that through him we may have eternal life. Because he knew we couldn't get there on our own. Amen? So there's times where we will experience defeat and discouragement. And there's other times and seasons where we'll have great growth and depth in our faith. That breakthrough moment was like, it's like it was like a slingshot for me. Like I could, all of a sudden I could have this growth and I could have this more, you know, my faith was deeper. So as the journey of sanctification ebbs and flows, we know that Jesus stays the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always with you on the journey and you're not alone. So up until this point, we've talked through some very practical ways that we can deal with fear. Recognizing it, giving it back to God through prayer, and keeping our focus on one day at a time. And they're all powerful habits that can be developed. And to add to it a spirit of self-discipline, and you'd start to think that you're invincible. So why do we feel at times we're anything but? That's where Jesus comes in. That's where Jesus enters in and says, you're not alone. You are not alone. Jesus is always with us. So there's four takeaways that I want us to have from today. So the first is a big idea. The second will be think and then feel and then do. So the big idea, Jesus is with us in every situation and circumstance. Until the very end. The second one, think. Embrace the reality of an ever-present Savior and know that He is always there. The third, feel. A sense of peace about the future, knowing that no matter how hard or difficult it may be, no one has to do it alone. And the last one is that we're going to go confidently from this series, from this Fear Not series, with some applicable tools and a greater understanding of dealing with fear and its effects. So last week, Pastor Dan talked briefly about the 12 spies and the promised land from Numbers 13 and 14. So in the middle of this story is a young man named Joshua. And Joshua we recognize as the chosen one to succeed Moses in the leadership and take God's people into the promised land, because Moses tried to do things on his own. And God was like, sorry, Moses, not happening. You didn't trust in me, not happening. You're not going in the promised land. But Joshua, your successor, the one that's been with you all this time, he will lead the people into the promised land. And now it's that same promised land that 40 years earlier, he and Caleb believed the Lord would provide. So if you remember in that story in the 13 and 14, that he went into the promised land, they spied out the land, and that many of them gave a bad report, but Joshua and Caleb were faithful, and they gave the good report and said, no, we can go into the promised land. We will not fear, we will go into the promised land. And so 40 years, from that moment, 40 years, all of a sudden he finally has the ability, and Joshua is leading the people into the promised land. So, now in Joshua chapter 1. So after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised to Moses. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And a few verses later, God says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Even the great Joshua, the son of Nun, who led the Israelites safely into the promised land, was reminded by God himself to fear not. And what does God say to encourage Joshua? He essentially says, you're not alone. I am with you always. I am with you always. Paper's falling. So now let's jump into the New Testament. So that covered the Old Testament. And in one little one chapter and a couple of verses where God's reminding him, don't be discouraged, don't fear. So now let's jump into the New Testament, into Matthew 28 and the Great Commission. And the Great Commission, at the very end, the very last verse of Matthew's Gospel, after Jesus gives the disciples a final commission and exhortation, and he's telling the disciples to go out into all the world. And Jesus says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I am with you always to the very end of the age. So now, how terrified were the disciples? They must have been terrified, and must have been, to think about sharing the good news of Jesus without Jesus. Because up until this point, they always had him, right? Jesus was always with them. And so how kind and how powerful it must have been to hear Jesus himself tell them that he would be always with them until the very end. I'm surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Matthew 28:20. Has that truth changed after all these years? Has the end of the age happened yet? No. No, it hasn't come. It hasn't changed. And the end hasn't come yet. Jesus is alive and well, and he's with us. Right where he said he'd be. Now, one more point about Jesus. He was always incredibly honest with the disciples. Even when they didn't like the truth or couldn't understand it, they could always count on the unvarnished truth. They could always count on his unvarnished truth. Now, think about this. Jesus is preaching out. He's called to ministry. He starts preaching. He's got this following. He's got 5,000 people? You know, Sermon on the Mount, there's 5,000 people, and there's kids, and, you know, all these people run around. He feeds them. He shows miracles to them. He heals these people. And then all of a sudden, they didn't like what he said. All of a sudden, he told the truth that they didn't want to hear. And they left him. And he was with 12. And out of those 12, even one of those 12 betrayed him. But he knew that God's always with him. So, in those moments of truth, Jesus found in the Gospel of John, John chapter 16, a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone. I am not alone. Jesus saying this, I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. Be encouraged. Take heart. Be encouraged. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And I think that's the next slide, Kevin. After Jesus' arrest and eventual death, the disciples were scattered, and many of them went back to their own homes. So if we look at that, it's an interesting point that he told them that he'd leave them alone, but that his Father God, that he would be alone, but that his Father God would still be with him. The disciples did exactly as Jesus said. They left him. They left him. But Jesus did exactly what he promised never to do. That he never left them. Take heart, be encouraged. I am with you, and I have defeated the world. And what a promise. He told them in verse 33 that there would definitely be trouble in this life. And the word trouble is also defined by Strong's Dictionary as affliction, tribulation, oppression, distress, and more generally describes a pressure and a pressing together. What does it feel like when we are filled with anxiety? So when we have that anxiety that builds up and that worry that builds up, what does it feel like? It feels like things are pressing in our head. It feels like bricks are just coming in, and then your head gets all cloudy and you can't think straight. So it's that pressure and pressing together. So in other words, you could say, in this world, you will have pressure, affliction, oppression, and distress, which I imagine we can all identify with one form or another. So however real the pressure is in our life right now, and for whatever trouble or distress has yet to come, what can we do? We can celebrate today because Jesus has overcome this world. In fact, when he says, take heart, in verse 33, we are reminded of God's encouragement to Joshua from earlier when he says, don't be discouraged, don't be afraid. No matter how difficult it gets, no matter how impossible the odds are, or the impossible this situation may seem, we have a promise from God that is bigger and stronger than any giants we may see on the horizon. Those giants are coming at us, but yet God is bigger and God is stronger. Amen? Amen. We stand with the one who has already overcome. the one who chooses to stand with us. He chooses to stand with us, and he chooses to stand with us until the very end of the age. So I'll close with this. When Jesus is added to the habits we've been building and forming throughout this series, we can begin to see how someone like Paul was able to say with confidence in Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who strengthens me. When you know that the Savior of the universe is committed to standing with you every trial, every season, every affliction, literally everything, you walk with a bit more confidence in your step. There's a little spark in our eyes, a little bit more boldness in the actions and the moments and what we face. We can rest a little bit easier. We can lay our head back and not feel the cloud and not feel the pressure. It's not that fear, anxiety, worry, doubt, all those things don't exist. But it's that they have the proper place in the capable hands of Christ. There, it's in his hands. We can give it to him. So keep recognizing the unhealthy fear in your life and dealing with it appropriately. Those worries, that anxiety, that fear, that what's going to happen, and it starts rolling through our heads, and we start playing the picture, and we start drawing a story in our minds, our imaginations take over. At that moment, we need to raise a hallelujah, and we need to say, Jesus, I need you, and I need you to take this. And you give it to him, and you don't even hold on to it. You give it to him fully. Don't worry about tomorrow, but keep your energy focused on today. Keep our eyes above the waves. Keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And above all else, remember that Jesus is with us every single step of the way. Now, I might not be able to give the audible voice of God today like Joshua got at the edge of the promised land and the disciples got from Jesus. But according to his word, according to the Bible, we can look and say, we have the same encouragement that the Lord has given all throughout the Bible to his people. It's constantly in there. It is constantly in there. So don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Fear not. God and Jesus are with you always until the very end. They will never leave you and never forsake you. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving Lord, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you and we thank you so much for this blessed assurance and this wonderful reminder that you are with us in every single moment until the very end. Lord, that we do not need to even focus on the unhealthy fear, that we need to package that up and give it to you, Lord, and just deliver it into your capable hands, Christ. And Lord, when those trials and that distress and the anxiety comes, that we can raise a hallelujah and we can look up to you, oh, Holy Father, we can look up to you and know that that storm will pass. Though the trials come, Lord, we turn to you and you carry us through it. Though we go through the fire, Lord, you are with us in the fire. And we're in the waters, Lord, you're with us in the waters. And you bring us out of it, Lord. Lord, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your amazing love, Lord. And I praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And please stand if you are able. As we're going to sing this last song, this is a time that I ask you, no matter where you're at, I ask you to look at that commitment. And if there's something that's blocking, like I had, if there's something that, you know, whatever it is, just take this moment as we're singing this last song together take this moment to recommit and just to ask it, say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come, fill me and show me and have me raise a hallelujah to you. Amen.